Blog Talk Radio.
Let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Goes based on the data you have for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada. Okay, we're trying a little different arrangement in the studio tonight, and that's why we're doing a Wednesday show. We usually do the once a month or once a week. Once a month, I do it every week. We do a once a week show, but we're trying a couple of new experiments with Skype, and that being the great free voice over IP long distance service, and we've been using it for quite a while for, taking our studio mixer and doing some pretty good sound work with the show. And we found a new way to actually dial in through our broadcast computer, which was not easy to do with the Skype software. So I found a way to make it work, and we are, for the very first time, coming through that single little connection. And instead of having to have two phone lines open, we got one open now. So that's a good thing to start off with. And we're going to pretty much do a potpourri kind of show, talk about a little bit of everything for the next 90 minutes, and really glad that some of you are out there already popping in to say hi. I think I saw Haunted America out there, and got to listen to that show. It looks like it's a good one. The phone number for anyone that's got something unique to talk about, maybe a ghost sighting, maybe something paranormal going on, maybe something else. Maybe you saw a UFO. Maybe you saw, Jesus flying along saying the second coming's coming in. So if you, whatever you got, give us a call, 646-478-0377. So that said, our standard line is if Kat was on, we'd be talking about just some general banter, and then we'd move into the news. Since I don't have anybody to talk to but myself right now, we'll do the news here for just a second, but we'll also talk about, Christine B. is going to be on. We're going to give her a call at the half-hour mark and talk about some more of the Bookery case that we were on. We went ahead and uploaded a few of the EVPs. We got one that I think will pretty much knock your socks off. It's just frickin' eerie. There's no other word for it. It's just, and it's extremely clear. It's one of those Class A EVPs that you just dream about. Anyway, if you're interested in ED Paranormal, by the way, it's HTTP://edparanormal.com, and that stands for El Dorado Paranormal Investigations, and that's Christine B., and her name is actually B., period, the letter B. And she actually caused a big software problem for the telephone company on the name, because no one had ever heard of a single letter as a last name. So they had to rewrite some of their software, which caused great consternation. So she managed to create mass havoc at the phone company. She's probably listening to me and laughing right now. So, but we'll be giving her a call. And let's see, let's move on to the, actually, you know what, I'm going to take a minute before the news. You know, I got some new toys this week, and I'm looking right at one right now. I just came home from work, and from the, sitting on the table was a little package from Amazon.com, and I am the proud owner now of an ICD, I think it's a TX720 ICD Sony digital recorder, and this thing is really neat. The prices on these have just stayed pretty much in the $50 to $60 range, and when you buy them about every 6 months, they're twice as dense. So this one I'm holding in my hand, it's a little wider form factor, but thinner and actually lighter than the other two I have, which are the P520 and the P620. This one has a FIDA board and a little bit bigger screen, a little bit bigger speaker, but lighter, and it's real surprising. So I look forward to working with it. I'm going to take it with me on the Bodie investigation here in the next couple of days. And Christine and some friends are going to come along, and we're going to go out there and to take on Bodie, which is a ghost town. It's the finest example of a ghost town that pretty much exists in the entire West. It's on the eastern Sierra, just not too far from Yosemite. So if you ever get the chance to go out there and see that, that's on the must-do list of paranormal investigations. And we're going to give it a shot and see what we pick up for a couple of days, and we'll be staying in a haunted hotel that actually was a bordello that was actually picked up and moved to this other town that's 14 miles from Bodie itself. And I think a few of the ghosts decided to come along with it, and they like to play games and hide things and pull the covers off people. So we're going to see what we catch when we get there. Let's see what's going on in the chat room and see who we got in. We got Haunted America and ED Paranormal, so not a lot of folks on tonight. You know, I didn't really advertise this show too much, but it'll be on the archives, and I think a few people will listen in. So that said, let's just move on. From the Tahlequah Daily Press, and I have no idea where that place is, so obviously it's a very regional paper, but Paranormal Researchers Swap Stories by Triviana Coleman. And it says here, at the Arrowhead Resort, more than a dozen miles north of State Highway 10, the banks of the Illinois River were alive with activity Saturday night, so now we know part of where it is. Some of the visitors were looking for activity of another kind, and specifically that of the dead. You know, the Oklahoma Paranormal Research and Investigations team held its annual conference last week, one part retreat and one part education. After the group spent the day floating down the river, several speakers showed up for the conference, along with ghost hunters and some very curious area residents. Katie Myers, 33 years old, came to the event Friday night, and she reported an emotional message that had come through her with Karen Fletcher, one of the OKPRI's speakers. Fletcher claimed to possess and express tremendous psychic abilities since her earliest memories of childhood, and by the time she was a teenager, she had not realized that not everyone had this gift. Fletcher's talents were well-grounded in her traditional Native American and spiritual belief system and her knowledge of the other side. She communicates with loved ones who have passed, and it was incredible, Myers said. I know it was my sister speaking through her. She couldn't have known those things. Myers was so interested in the process of ghost hunting that she paid for the second night in advance, and she says, I knew I was coming back tonight. I wanted to hear what everybody had to say. So it goes on. There's a little more to the story if you want to go ahead and pick that up. I'm going to pop that in. I'll pop that story out on the chat room probably a little bit later, because the way I've got the broadcast computer configured, I'm not quite set up for this right. My regular chat computer is being upgraded. It's a Ubuntu system. And, oh, it's finished. I am successfully the proud owner of a Ubuntu Jaunty Jackalope. That's the actual name of that particular version of Ubuntu Linux, the Jaunty Jackalope. Go figure. Anyway, I'm the proud owner of that, so next show we'll have that actually up and running. So, but back to the stories. We'll go ahead and post those links on one of the sites and get you guys that. If you just want to look under Google Paranormal Researchers Swap Stories, and you'll see that. Let's take a look here from the Examiner. They're very, very good paranormal reporters in that particular paper, and I really would love to meet those guys. They just do great work here. We almost always have a story from them. Professionalism in the paranormal field. With the somewhat recent boom of paranormally themed entertainment on television, paranormal investigator groups have been springing up all across the United States. Taking their cue from Sci-Fi Channel's own Ghost Hunters, men and women from many different backgrounds have been joining together in an effort to be the next team up operating in their respective area. But with so many groups popping up and limited amount of ground in which to cover, competition for investigations can be surprisingly high. The thing is, it doesn't have to be that way. I believe that the key to advancing the field of paranormal research forward lies in cooperation with each other and not in competition. Amen, brother. Of course, all groups want to get their share of investigations, and most of us strive to do the best possible work we can. However, when the level of discourse spirals downward into a never-ending game of one-upmanship and backstabbing, it has crossed the line from serious research into simple schoolyard bullying. And sadly, incidents like these are becoming more common in the paranormal field. Groups are refusing to help one another, refusing to share information, and in many cases, even bad-mouthing each other. And I've seen that happen personally. They seem to think that the investigation and research is a game, a competition with a winner and a loser, and that at the end of the day, all the victories will be tallied up and someone will take home a bright, shiny trophy. Well, you know, this goes on. He says it doesn't work like that. And this guy, I would love to get this reprinted on our site and see if they'll let us do that, because this is absolutely right on. The man who wrote this, his name is Jason Corbis, and he's from Toledo Paranormal and Hauntings Examiner. So, Jason, I'm here with you, my friend. That's exactly right. This is a science, and there's a lot of art in it. Everybody has a different take in the way they do their investigative work, but we're all trying to do the same thing. So it's refreshing to see that because, you know, we do a lot of hunting in places that are pretty well covered places. A lot of groups have been there before us. And we're not expecting to come in and, make some big grand statement, look what we found. It's more out of our own personal interest, and I think that's how a lot of these groups hopefully are seeing it. Some of them have other aims, but I really feel that there's plenty of room to find your own haunts. He's talking about a limited amount of room, and I think he's meaning it in the sense that, these classic and well-known haunts. Well, I spent some time in GRI before I really got into all the investigations we've done, and we've done a ton of them. Really getting to know the area and looking into the history of the area, which I live right in the middle of where gold was discovered in the, mid-1800s. 9 miles from here is where John Sutter and William Marshall discovered gold. So, it was pretty easy for me. I mean, I step out my door and I'm already on a haunted gold mine. But it's just so simple to find places that are haunted. We recommend highly the trick of trolling down the street and seeing what AVPs you get. Going and talking with friends, going and talking with neighbors, and listening to stories of people around you who will point you the right way. And pretty soon you'll have a set of cases that you alone will be the one who know about and no one else will. And they'll be all yours. And if that floats your boat, great. We generally report exactly what we have and don't hide what we have investigated. We're all for other groups coming in to, follow in our footsteps on first cases that anybody's ever hunted in. So if you take it that way and you just keep your head kind of grounded and your heart in the right place, I think you'll really do well and last a long time in this business of paranormal research. So, anyway, I've been on my soapbox long enough here. Let's move on to the next story. Can Ghostbusters make you spirited come back? This is a fun story. I actually heard just recently that Ghostbusters was looking at a fourth movie. And so here's the story from the Los Angeles Times. Hollywood -- Dan Aykroyd has waited two decades for the Ghostbusters film franchise to come back from Hollywood's great beyond, and now it's so close he can feel it in his bones. I'm just waiting for that phone call, Aykroyd said with a wistful smile. One day the producer calls you and says, we have a production number, and that's the real green light. And it's coming soon, I hope. We could be in production by winter. No Hollywood money-making franchise ever really gives up the ghost, just ask Indiana Jones, but 25 years have passed since the first Ghostbusters film and 20 since its lone sequel. Oh, it's actually Ghostbusters 3, excuse me. I was thinking of all the other, you know, the cartoon series, so that's what got me thinking that was the fourth here. 25 years have passed and 20 since the lone sequel, and there's reason to wonder whether the franchise's quaint paranormal hijinks would ever appeal to a Harry Potter generation accustomed to a more sophisticated spookery. Still, Aykroyd and Columbia Pictures are true believers when it comes to the franchise's 21st century afterlife, and one of the main reasons is that Ghostbusters, the video game, is doing, I guess, pretty well. On Tuesday, Atari released the much-anticipated Ghostbusters title, which has taken on a mythical aura for gamers after years of delays and a budget of $12 million. And the number of times that particular property changed hands before landing at Atari's doorstep. Still, there's intense consumer interest in the game, especially since the maneuvers required to trap ghosts lend themselves to somewhat novel gameplay. And it brought together the core of the original cast for voice work and two facts that have restarted the dominant Ghostbusters, or the dormant Ghostbusters film machinery. So it looks to me like we are looking at a distinct possibility that Ghostbusters 3 is going to be out there, possibly in maybe spring or 2010. We may see the boys get back together, and that would really be good. Kind of miss seeing Egon, you know. I remember that famous scene where he's there inside the hotel and he loses control, and basically the nuclear device in his hand cuts through the bar, and Bill Murray goes, "Nice shooting, Tex." So let's see, what else have we got going here? We've got special guests that are coming in the next, I think I said something about it. In the last show, we talked a little bit about Gloria Young over at Ghost Trackers. She's going to be on in the very near future. And also, we got into contact with Todd Wolf over at Wolf Manor. And he, I quote it from my little Gmail message. He says, "I'd be honored to come on your show." And you just name a time. We're going to have the folks from Wolf Manor on to talk with us. And they're going to be, hopefully maybe he'll bring a couple of his buddies on. Because let me tell you a little bit about that. So for those of you who know what Wolf Manor is, bear with me. But for those who don't, Wolf Manor is a former insane asylum called Clovis Sanitarium in the town of Clovis, which is just right outside. It's like a suburban city right outside of Fresno, California. And it's right off of Highway 99, for those of you who know the drive to and from. That particular place had just a huge number of people die there. It was kind of the end of the line when you were mentally ill or deemed incapable of taking care of yourself. You sort of ended up in that place, and it was pretty much a pretty gruesome setup there. People were overcrowded, and they were stacked in the halls, and it was this it operated for, I guess, quite a while as a private entity, and then somehow the government got involved with it, and it lasted until, I think, Governor Reagan came in and put an end to a lot of that. And actually, my grandfather, Almada, he was actually a pretty well-known neurosurgeon, and he was one of the directors of the board of DeWitt Mental Hospital up over in Auburn, California, which is just about 20 miles from here. And he was one of the doctors who fought like heck to get these places shut down and appealed to the Reagan administration to do that not long before his death. So these places were pretty bad off. And so the Clovis Sanitarium was just very bad. And a lot of deaths there. And when you go in there now, You know, Todd's done a great job basically doing a lot of renovations on the place, and it stirred up a lot of activity, but they've developed something of a relationship with many of the spirits there. And they have a weekly radio, video broadcast from there. If you happen to just go out and look on Google for Wolf Manor, you'll find their link, and you can actually watch the show on Saturday nights. And then they do the rebroadcast same night. They'll do a rebroadcast right after, and then after that, they'll do another rebroadcast on Sunday evening about 7 o'clock Pacific. So it's something really interesting to look at. Oh, I see see Haunted America says howdy, and I'll say howdy back. And what's ED Paranormal saying? I already turned the sound down on my computer. Ha ha! I didn't feel bad that I screwed that up. You didn't screw that up. Oh my goodness! No. I think what we're going to have to do is get you a checklist, Christine. I know how it is. Once you get working with technology and you're trying to be psychic, it just doesn't work well together, does it? So anyway, let's see where we're at. So anyway, we were talking about what the events and things that are happening over at that asylum. I went in there last November, and for 3 days afterwards, it took me that long to actually start feeling better again, because there's just something to that place. You walk in and you feel it immediately. It's kind of the same feeling you get when you walk aboard the Queen Mary. It's you know you're in a zone where everything is different. And I actually did some psychic reading in the because I'm sensitive myself, and I went into the kitchen, and Barry from Ghost Hunters International was there, and he asked for psychics, and I stuck my hand up, and I ended up in the center of the room, opened myself up, and I felt just the worst I've ever felt. It was the most sad feeling you could ever imagine, and I picked up a woman named Elizabeth, who was coming on with just this, she was talking about how she died. And she was, I guess, evidently murdered there. And there were murders in this place. So it was not a nice place. The number of EVPs we got there were just incredible. And, especially on the second floor, we got some that are just unique. One of a man screaming, and, right where I was sitting, and there was nobody screaming when I was there. But when we played the tape back, this guy's walking around making these horrible noises. And then there's something else that comes on and says, it hated me. Just a whole variety of comments about Barry. They were all talking about Barry. I guess they like Barry there, so they were all. We had a whole bunch of those, first, second, and even the third floor. I did get up to the third floor, which you have to climb a ladder to get up there. And Amy Bruni was there, and we were using the geophones, which are those. Basically, they're like seismometers. That TAPS has worked out a design with some pretty capable electronics designers, and I would love to get a hold of one of those things, and or at least the schematics, and build one myself. So I see that Haunted America doing great. How are you? ED Paranormal is saying hi, Haunted, and we're all doing great over here. thanks for talking with Christine. She's sitting there typing away. So. Anyway, bottom line is I think that's going to be a great interview with our good friends from Wolf Manor. The thing that's interesting to me is they're refurbing the place, and I think that they're talking about turning it into a hotel. And I don't know about anyone else, but the idea of actually staying in that place, I don't know. I for an overnighter, and you're paying to stay in a hotel, and with that kind of energy, I think I'd be staying up all night before I'd get a wink of sleep in there, because it's an amazingly haunted place. And those psychics who've been in there and are listening to the show and know what I'm talking about and have been in there, I'm sure you'll agree with me. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and we're coming up on 9:25. I'm going to flip over to the control. No callers in yet, so we're going to be having Christine on at 9:30, so that's 6 minutes away, And if anybody else wants to call in and relate some stories, maybe our good buddy over there at Haunted America Radio wants to give a call in. Let's see, the number is 646-478-0377. And let's see what we can find in the hopper here to play for everybody. I don't know. I'm going to try this one. Break Y'all by Eddie Wilson. No, I don't know about that. That doesn't look too good. We need something. Well, we'll try a little bit of bumper music, and then I'll move into something else. So here comes a bumper Egypt, and then we'll just move into a regular song from that point on. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and we're going to go ahead and give Christine a call, and then I see Haunted America on the line there. So stand by, my friend. We'll get Christine on, and then we'll go ahead and pop in and pick you on to the show here. So let's go ahead and let me see how this works. How does this work? Oh, that worked really good until I went to actually use it. So let me see if I can actually get her on. I want to do this. I have got to try that out. Well, it was working before, and I've got to get Christine on, so stand by just a second. We'll tell you what, I'm going to play a little more music while I'm working this menu problem out. Actually, let me see what the instructions say here. Right-click, invite to conference, and you should still be hearing me, folks. And I think I see what happened before, and I'm going to try to get her. Back. Let me see if I can try to conference her in conversation. Well, Christine, I am having a little technical difficulty here. Let me see if we can get you to, if you could Skype in on us, 646-478-0377, that would sure help a bunch. Because I am not having a good time with this. So this is why we're doing this show. We're finding out all the issues that can arise when you're trying to do these tools, view, conversations. I am not enjoying this. This is, I'm sorry, folks. This is the trouble with computers. Let me see if I can make that happen. I'm dialed in on, let's see if I can get her to come in. Ah! Oh, I found the answer. Here it is. Should be jingling now. Yes! Ha ha ha! Got lucky.
Hello?
Oh my goodness, you're on. You know what? Christine, I feel so much better now. I was... that right-click thing. Well, you know, I accidentally, just to let you folks know, I accidentally dialed Christine before the show because there was police activity at your house, and I was somehow, my mind was on it, and I accidentally hit the dial. I was thinking about her, and the next thing I know, I was already dialed into the on the pre-dial-in for the show, waiting for Blog Talk to cycle me in on the hour, and I accidentally picked her a number and conferenced her in too early, so I figured it would just go away. Well, it turns out Skype leaves you kind of in a quasi-weird state, and you have to go back and pick that person from the actual live phone call that's going on. Anyway, Christine, we got you.
Yes,
that's
here I'm
part.
Here.
So, hey, you're excited about
voting? Yeah, I got to tell you, there's no accident, John.
Well, is the police still there?
Yeah, the police are still up, but they're not at my house. They're at a house up the hill from me.
Oh my God!
They haven't left yet. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy up there.
Well, you got the doors locked, right?
Most of them locked.
You got the psychic paracannon at the ready, right?
That's right, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
If I just start screaming and you hear bullets flying, you'll know why.
Okay, then I'll jump in the mighty GRA Mustang and be up there with our weapon systems too, from where.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? We've got somebody on the line, and they've been sitting there real patient. How about we pop them in and say hello to Haunted America Radio? What do you say?
Okay.
All right, let's do that. So we're going to go ahead and say, if I can get that little thing to click. Boy, it's been technical weirdness today. Come on.
Is it full moon?
I don't know what it is. If it's Mercury retrograde, it's attacking my systems today, you know. But I changed the procedure a little bit. And let me try that one more time. There we go. Oh, Haunted America, you're on the air. Are you?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hello. Oh, you're using the push to talk. Hi there.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I got my headset all set up to do my own show, so it's easier just to come in this way.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I've got my studio set up the same way, and now it's just so much simpler to do things just right at the mixer console and, you know, call folks and then get all confused when Skype does weird things. So anyway, hey, tell us about your show. What's your name, and tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Well, my name's Al Shepard, and I am, let's see, my co-host is Josh Mantello, who is the co-founder of Berkshire Paranormal Group over here in Massachusetts, and also he is quickly becoming a recognized expert in paranormal photography. He's created a photograph classification system, kind of like what you have for EVPs, and different groups around the country have been picking that up. I am just basically starting down the road of investigations. I'm just interested in the paranormal, and I've been doing a music radio show on a local AM station here for the last 6 months, and I said to myself, well, why don't we start a show on the paranormal? So I went to my area experts, who turned out to be Josh, and him and I have been doing it for about a month now, and having a good old time meeting everybody.
That's about how it's been for us. We've been on about 6.5 months now, and once you get doing this, you get kind of addicted to it, and it's just totally enjoyable, and we meet all kinds of fascinating people, and you know, you're well on your way, it sounds like, especially with your broadcast experience in AM.
Yeah. This next week, Josh has to take the week off, so we're going to have Gemini Rose as our special co-host. She's going to come in there and sit with me. But I think our show is just a little bit different, because instead of having two experts or a couple team members or something like that, Josh and I really come from two different aspects. You know, he's the ghost hunter, goes into the haunted houses and looks for ghosties and people that haven't crossed over yet. And my interest lies more in the people that have already crossed over but are trying to make communications back to us. Dr. George Meeks and his Spiricom machine really interested me, and then I read Sarah Estep's book, Voices of Eternity. And between the two of those, it just really got me interested in contacting those that are already in, you know, so-called heaven, and having them describe to me what it looks like over there and what's going on and things like that. So, plus, if Josh gets too technical with his terminology, then I can kind of bring him back to earth here and say, hey, whoa, you know, you're going over my head. Let's bring it back to layman's terms, you know.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, how do you make the distinction for, you know, because I do EVP in the field. I'm one of those guys. I go, you know, Christine and I go off, and we hit places, you know, where people haven't crossed over quite a bit, and we get a lot of requests for that from spirits in the field. But it sounds to me like you're using, like, something equivalent to a Frank's box or similar to do the work you're doing. And how do you know that they are crossed? How, you know, what's your procedure, and how do you basically do this?
Well, like I said, I'm really just getting started. I've just purchased a couple Olympus voice recorders, and I read Sarah's book, and what Sarah did was just sit in her office, and about two times a day, in the morning and the evening, she'd just sit in her office, turn on a tape recorder, and just ask, is anyone with me? And it took her a little while before anyone really took her serious and noticed she was there. But once they started talking to her, I guess she went on for like 20 years doing this on a regular schedule, and they would just show up and come to her, and they would give her all kinds of explanations about what's going on over there, and about the seven different levels of heaven and reincarnation. And in fact, I don't know if you've read her book, but there's at one point she said she was contacted by Beethoven, and she was using a regular radio as white noise, tuned to the aircraft band, and she asked him to prove it after speaking with him for months. Finally, she says, "You got to give me some absolute proof so I know who I'm talking to." And she got this 1 minute of classical music that didn't come over the voice recorder, actually came over the radio on the aircraft band, which, of course, if you know anything about aircraft band, music does not play there. You know, that's all aircraft.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, that's about 100 and some odd megahertz, and that's absolutely illegal.
Yeah, so that's what she was using for background noise, and then right on cue, this 1 minute of this classical music came through. I actually played the clip on our, I think it was our second episode, and she took this music and sent it to five or six experts around the country, and no one could identify it. They'd never heard this music before, which goes right along with the EVP she was getting when Beethoven told her that he's still composing music in heaven. He's still writing new music, and no one had ever heard this piece of music before. So,
and it did sound
fascinating.
It sounded like his style then, huh?
Exactly, and that's what really intrigued me. That, and on top of, like I said, reading about the Spiricon machine and George Meeks and how the doctor that had passed away, and I can't think of his name now. His name was George too, but I can't think. He was a NASA scientist, I think, that died in 1969. Was actually speaking back and telling George and his assistant how to build this machine to speak with him, you know, all this technical jargon. And the gentleman told him that there is actually a group of scientists in heaven called Time Stream that are actually working on a machine to try to contact, to communicate back here with us.
I've heard of that being talked about in various places, that exact group there. And evidently, it's they actually have these running conversations almost in real time, if I remember right.
Yeah, it was pretty weird because then as Sarah was going, I was reading through her book. The spirits that were talking to her also mentioned an organization called Time Stream. So when after seeing one and then reading it again in another book, which both were written about at the same time, and here's two different investigators that both just happened to mention this same organization. You know, that really, really piqued my interest. And then last night I was listening to a show on the, I think it was Darkness Radio, about a two-year-old boy who has been proven to be a reincarnated World War II pilot. So,
I actually heard something about this, and I don't remember where, but this kid knew basic flight control systems and had a good understanding of the type of airplane he was in and the type of fighting characteristics. I mean, it was just an amazing thing that this kid had this knowledge, and I think his father was taking him around, and he was able to, it just sort of popped out of this kid. And he started talking about all these things and how he died, even.
Yeah, it started out with nightmares he was having at 2 years old, and he kept waking up yelling, "Plane on fire, little man can't get out." And then as he got older, 3, 4, 5, 6, he kept giving more details, and he actually finally told them the pilot's name, where he was shot down, what kind of plane he had, and all kinds of details that, of course, a 3, 4-year-old wouldn't know. And they wrote a book about it called Soul Survivor. I guess that just came out this week. So I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that book.
Wow. That is neat. And Sarah Estep, I think she's with the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena, if memory serves right.
Yep, she was the founder.
Yeah, I just joined that, and not more than a week ago, I just got into that, and I'm just starting to kind of look around their website. You can actually get in. It's like $30 for the year, and then you get in, and there's all these different resources, and just this huge number of people in this place. And I saw that name all over, and I knew she had something to do with it. But I'm just still learning, you know, who's who in the organization. But I guess she's moved on. She's passed on, and another couple out of Reno are operating it. And but they were right on. I mean, I joined, and 3 days later, I had a packet in the mail with my name on the membership list and all these, guides and resources. And there's more people doing this than you can possibly imagine.
The thing about EVPs is it's so easy. Anyone can do it. You know, anyone that has the slightest inkling to do some investigating doesn't have to go out and buy tons of equipment. I bought Olympus voice recorders, $50 a piece. I bought two of them, one for myself, one for my wife. And when I was doing our radio show last Sunday, I said, all right, I need it quiet, so get out of here. So she took it, went up to the cemetery, sat by her parents' grave for about an hour, and came back with a nice EVP of a baby crying. So I went up there yesterday and looked around, and sure enough, I found a stone just a couple rows away of a 14-day-old baby. So, anybody can do that. EVP is the great way to get your foot in the door, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. My baptism in all this was just with a simple Sony ICD P520. I picked that up for about $50, and now I've kind of made a habit of collecting recorders. I just got this new one in today, this new 1 gigabyte Sony 720 model, and I'm looking forward to giving it a try. But you're exactly right. Anybody can get into this and start off very inexpensively. The Olympus and Sony brands, I think there's really no real differences. It's, they work equally well. So you just get out there and, get your feet wet and go out there try things, try experiments. We're big believers in what we call trolling, which is just to take the EVP recorder and go down the street. In some city, pick an old section of town and just walk through and identify where you're at and ask for if anybody there wants to talk, and you will get responses downtown. It's surprising, and it's just like you say, anybody can do it.
Yep, exactly. I was I can't remember where I heard it, but I was reading something where a woman just has it on in her car while she's driving around, and every once in a while her mother will come through and say something to her, and just stuff like that, you know. So it's really interesting. But like I said, I'm more, I'm interested in the ghosts that are still here and why and things like that, but I'm also interested in the big question, tell me what heaven looks like and what I'm going to find when I get over there. And that's probably just because I'm pushing 47 now. The older I get, the more answers to those questions I want, you know.
I'm going to turn 50 on July 11th, and I'll be aboard the USS Hornet. So, yeah, I know the feeling. I'm seeing the great beyond coming closer. I feel like it's the downhill slide, and I'm going, I better understand this a little better. But, you listened the other night. I saw you on listening to the show talking about my father and some of the stuff that kind of got us into this. At the same time, you do wonder. And the things that I get constantly with EVP are references to light. I mean, we get a ton of those. And I think, Christine, you've gotten quite a few things like that. The references to the light and crossings and things like that. Have you?
Yeah. We have together, and I get a lot of because I'm a photographer. I think my sensitivity is more toward the photographs, and I get a lot of orbs. I get a lot of spirit showing up on photographs.
Yeah, that miner's cabin set that you've taken is just, you always get something at the miner's cabin, and that's that place where I get yelled at by that guy, although him and I are we're getting along better now, but he didn't like me much. And
John, you're clairaudient, and so you get a lot of EVPs. So I think it has a, I think the EVPs, there has to be some kind of psychic connection there somewhere.
Well,
I know they're pretty easy to get, but I think people who have, who are sensitive, get it more.
Yeah, it's funny because when I started this, I had some clairaudience as a child. I would occasionally hear my voice being spoken, and last year when I got into this in a serious way, it started picking up. I began noticing, and it's happened more and more frequently. I'll go out on an investigation, or I'll be here on the ranch, and I'll be out doing something, and I'll hear a voice. And I'll look around, and there's no one there. And what we've been getting, those is, especially over at the Shingle Springs Graveyard, which is kind of my personal favorite place to hunt and to haunt the haunted. I'm haunting them. I wonder if they like that.
Yeah, I think so. You've been haunting the spirits in that graveyard.
Yeah, but they're really nice folks, and I take them gifts and stuff, and they think I'm really cool when I bring them whiskey. I bring up whiskey. Yeah, well, you know, Mark and Debbie Constantino kind of suggested that. But what's funny was last Thanksgiving and Christmas, both times I was there, bringing in those materials and some ornaments and things. I actually was able to hear a voice speak to me, and it was a man's voice both times. And I think it was William Palmer, the guy that. So, you know, we're hearing it. I do agree with you. I think there's a certain psychic connection to people who get a lot of these things. And I catch hundreds, you know, and I listen to folks who go out there and they you know, they do their thing and they're happy with three, and I've come back with 60. And I'm still trying to understand this, you know.
And what about the what Kevin picked up? That is the most phenomenal EVP I've ever heard. It was just amazing.
Yeah, that especially that one with the evil. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've got that right.
Like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I've got. Let me see. Evil Roaster. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Let me play this and let's see what our friend there at Haunted America thinks. Let's go ahead. We're going to just hit this at 100%, and I think you will not have trouble hearing this. Oops. The wrong one. Let me come back. It was the right one. Let me try it again and take it to 200%, and let's try this again.
Roaster.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Roaster.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was part of our the two minute EVP that we got, that was constant whispering, a constant conversation that never stopped. It just kept whispering right over everything. And when you and Kevin were talking, it was whispering right over the talking. It was amazing.
Yeah, we actually have another one of those loaded right now where they're talking about the lovely novel, and I'm going to boost that to 200. Take a listen to this. This is an excerpt from that, and we'll actually play that 2 minutes, the whole 2 minute spiel on the Sunday show. So here we go. Yeah, heard that at the end. Lovely novel, and he basically Kevin was just walking around pulling books out, just kind of murmuring a little bit, but that was not his voice, and it was things were happening, like talking about Russians. There were all these Russian references from the transcription you put in, and it was just stunning. I mean, I've never gotten a 2 minute long EVP ever. It's usually a 3 to 5 words, a couple of sentences. But 2 minutes?
And there was a couple of them that one said Thomas C. Cato, and another one said Jim Power. So they were actually, the voice was the same voice for 2 minutes. And it was giving us specific names. Karen Aresto was another name it gave us. Take care of Karen Aresto.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here looking for the Jesse one. Was striking.
Oh, yeah.
because Kevin's best friend is a person named Jesse, and I think there had been a death in the family very recently, and it says something about tell Jesse for me.
Pass this on to Jesse, or
pass this on to Jesse.
Like,
yeah, let's try that. Let's put the Jesse one, and I'll take it to 200%. Here we go. Let's give it a try. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to play that again because you can hear just a little bit of one more time. Pass on this for me to Jesse. It could be Jessica.
It could be Jessica, but it sounded like Pass's Rubik for Jesse or something like that. It's just very strange, but it was a constant, which was unbelievable to me. I had to, when I was doing the transcript of it, I literally had to stop every few seconds to pick up every, you know, and it wasn't a full conversation. It was bits and pieces of a conversation.
That's the thing with EVP that we're finding is having different people listen. People have different ways of hearing, and so when you kind of pass it around and get more people to listen in on the recording,
right.
you'll kind of get a consensus as to what's being said. But, you know, we had Mark and Debbie Constantino on recently, and they were talking about, matter of fact, I think that's the person that was talking about doing EVPs in her car, because she told us about that in her car, and that she actually got some EVPs of a guy that was sitting in the car with her outside Albertsons over in Reno, and she was kind of blown away because she had a physical manifestation in the car because the cigarette lighter kept popping out, and finally she got her attention. She pulled the recorder out, and that kind of confirmed to me that it's always good to carry a recorder with you at all times. So I carry my 520 recorder in my pocket everywhere I go, just in case. And
you just never know.
Matter of fact, I mean, we're having, of all things, a problem at work, where I work. The building is having, the guards are being messed with by something. And I did a very unofficial investigation and got multiple EVPs in my own workplace. And evidently something or someone is very unhappy with this building being there, where they really don't like it. And last winter, the second floor window was actually blown out 50 feet into the parking lot from here. It is. It's just a two-story corporate, you know, regular run-of-the-mill office built out twice. And this second floor window, no one was in there, and the window was blown out 50 feet from the inside out, which,
wow.
Yeah, the guards were, and I talked to, you know, one of the guards I work with there, he's real nice and he's pretty aware. And he knew what I was about, and he said, "Can you check this out for us?" So, you know, we ran some EVP, and then the stories started coming about the bangings and the doors opening by themselves, and there was things going on with.
Well, there's a lot of things that go on where you work at.
Well, the problem is, you know, I mean, I work in the aerospace business, and just not a mile away is where we had some of our classic accidents in the 60s, where there were felon accidents and then all through there was a lot of history of that old section of Rancho Cordova. Which is right outside Sacramento, which is just full of history and a lot of ranching and farming went on. So, you know, who knows what we're running into? But so far, you know, I'm a little worried because the way we've done this investigation. I mean, I'm not saying exactly where this is, but so far, I mean, what I don't want is just to turn into like some big official thing. You know, I'm just lending a little commentary and saying, hey, what, you know, this is what's going on. But just a casual walkthrough, and I ended up with 20 EVPs, and it seemed like the thing was just pretty upset. And that's the thing I get. I think it's really not in a good place, and not accepting the fact that this entire office complex is there, and it's taking it out on our building. So obviously something happened right on the premises, and this thing actually stomps at night. They're hearing walking, and then one of the guards is actually being touched on the face, and so I don't know. I don't know what to think.
You should talk to one of the guards into and carrying a recorder with him.
Yeah, I am talking to him about that. As a matter of fact, that subject just came up, and I'm going to be getting him copies of the EVPs just so he's got some of the records that I picked up. But I've got a bunch of scared people on my hands, and I'm thinking of looking into how to help them kind of deal with it on their own and try to bring in a little comfort with it. At the same time, I'm wondering if we just did a quiet investigation of that area and see what we come up with as to what maybe was in the history. So you just never know what you're going to run into when you're out wandering around in the world with this stuff. It seems to just find you. And but I've had a few strange things just on the first floor, right in my office, where I felt like I've been touched. And they're not messing with me. I think that they know that I'm aware, and I think that I'm wondering maybe if just what I'm into drives some of that. So I don't know. I'm trying not to make it become a thing that's going to follow me to work. I really don't need that. I'm a computer programmer,
Yeah, really.
You don't want any
spirits in your computer system over there.
Well, if they could write code for me and actually do a really good job on some of my subroutine design, I would really appreciate it. But right now, it's not the way it's working, I don't know.
I'm thinking that those guys don't know what that means, John. Because they probably passed long before that whole system started.
Yeah, I don't know. Our guest here is talking about, I didn't write his first name down. He's going to kill me. I'll just say Haunted America right now. He'll probably, if he pops on and says, tells me first, because I got Josh, and then I the name kind of got mixed up when I was trying to write. So I'm sure he gets a lot of that kind of thing. But good Lord, it's, to me, the whole bit with investigation and, you around and how easy it is to get recordings and all that, I think we're in an unprecedented part of human history to actually communicate with the other side, whereas it was only psychics before, and you had to take it on their word, and now it's like you've got the combination, and it's the most potent it's ever been, because the electronics are really opening up a whole new world. And I've done shows about the future of the paranormal where we make some suppositions, and the thing I see jump in any time to comment is that we're kind of in the Model T days of all of this. We're taking tools that were meant for one purpose and adapting them we're adapting them to another use. And I think the era has come forth where, these, like the time stream organization on the other side, and, talented people on this side of things will work together and produce devices that will provide real-time communication that will be absolutely clear. And, you could actually see this becoming family relationships extending back whole generations, and people, talking to those who passed, just like you and I are talking right now.
That's right.
Yeah, so...
I don't think that's too far in the future either, to tell you the truth, because there's so much coming out. People are less likely to believe what the government and everybody else is trying to tell them, and are opening up their minds to other realities. And it's a good thing, because there's a lot of things about the universe that we don't really know. It's all conjecture. A lot of it is conjecture.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. It's funny, because I've spent my entire life in the propulsion business and, heavy lift rocketry and that kind of thing, and grew up around the people that, we had these people to dinner. We had the Project Paper scientists. These are actual Nazis, the far side, that we hired on. And they became the foundation of the modern, American rocket industry, and they had some interesting things to say. And chief and foremost to all of the scientists I've been around is that we don't know it all. And oh, there are those in the that hold the standard. If I guess you could say they're the standards bearers, who will do everything they can to get this and say no, it doesn't exist. Well, sorry, you know, when guys like me who you know have been in this my whole life can take a $50 recorder and go out and catch this stuff. It's pretty indisputable that there's a lot more going on than we will ever know and never understand.
That's right.
And, yeah, so, I mean, and look at you. You're picking up all this, you know, photographic evidence. I mean, you got that one of me in the...
Did we lose him, or did you lose me? Okay, I hope I'm back on the air. And let's see, can you hear me now? Oh, good. Yeah, I got knocked off darn good there, so let me see if I can get ED Paranormal back on the line.
Pepper. And let me call the group. Looks like it won't let me call her back. I'm going to try. Nope, that won't work. I'll be darned. Let me see if I can figure out how to make this. I guess I'm not going to have Christine on unless she can dial through Skype. So let me see. Sorry, let me make this work on the group call. Let me see. That's not going to work. Yeah, trying this new way of doing things, these are the risks you take when you're doing this stuff. As a matter of fact, our friend at Honda America, I think he might be able to talk back with me. Is he still there? He hits the talk. I should be able to hear him. That's not a fun night with technology. It's been fighting me right and left. So this is the reason I have an emergency backup line, which I'm going to retreat back to, because this is the reason we, in case we lose the connection, I can always go back to that. And anyway, I'll tell you what, your phone went out too. Oh my God, your phone went out too. I think Hana must be right. The government is. I'll tell you what, why don't you guys just type in the chat room and I'll just kind of respond to things and we'll just go on with where we left off. Yeah, interfering with the signals is right. As a matter of fact, I mean, that's distinctly possible. You know, there are computers that monitor a lot of our talking on the phone. Answered words, certain things happen, and they do these things. Yeah, Honda America says, can you hear him? Not a word. Can you hear me, Honda America? Okay, you can hear me over the phone line, so that's good. And I'm just trying to see if there's some way I can try calling. I'm just going to say add to conference. Ah, that seemed to work.
Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Okay, let's see. I'm getting you in a way that I'm not sure how you're coming in on this particular line, so let me check the audio settings here. And it's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, here we go.
I saw you there.
Okay, I got you back in the proper slot here. Hey, we managed to, you know what, I'm learning a lot about Skype on this call, on this particular show. Well.
Can you hear Haunted America? Because he's saying nobody can hear him.
Nobody can hear him. Tell you what, why don't we have him dial back in and just hang up and dial back in, and then I'll accept the call, and I think that might cure things up here. So, yeah, that he heard me there. So I'll ask for him to come back in. And I apologize all to heck there because we got 15 minutes left. But where were we? We were talking about just the technology and the things that go on with you know, the paranormal and the hunting and the things like that. And the pictures. So you've always been, right? You've had the ability to do. Oh, there he goes. Someone's going to pull him right in. And he's on the air. So you're back.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes.
Oh, we can hear you now.
Boy, we got them
all
back.
Right, I feel like the Verizon guy.
Oh, man. Oh, that was messed up, man. You know, I've tuned this broadcast computer to do Skype really well, but what I've learned is that the dial-in line is essential so that you, if you have a dropped Skype line, you can go back to your other line and still continue going, and I'm just going to return to that pattern. But this was an experiment, you know. It's a Wednesday night show. We were just taking a risk, and you know, we learned a lesson or two. So that's the whole purpose of tonight.
Yeah, don't talk about government things on the air.
Let's talk all about the government. Those suckers, those guys, they just spend money like it's going out of style. You know, let's talk about that. You know, they're
especially in the Air Force.
Damn straight. I mean, you know, yeah, let's, you know, we need more weapon systems, we got more social programs, and we got to do it, spend more now, because by God, we got to have it. So, I don't know. You know what? I wish I knew all the answers, and the politics escapes me anymore. You know, the older I get, the more confused I get, and I've just gotten to the point where I just want to hunt ghosts and the hell with the rest of it, you know? I don't know about you guys feel on the East Coast if you feel the same way as we do, but we're massively confused by everything going on right now. It just seems like the speed and of things is getting crazy. And then, you know, people talk about the end times and everything and the 2012 stuff, and somehow I just don't think the world's going to end on December 21st, 2012 at 12:01 a.m. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, kind of like
no,
Y2K, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I
think if anything, there'll be a shift maybe in some thinking that maybe it'll be a revolution for mankind. But, you know, I'm hoping that 2012, 2011, you know, 2013 brings about something positive for us, because, you know, the thing that bothers me is there's so much negative doom and gloom news, and when you go out and do paranormal work, it's all... Yeah, you see some tragedies now and then, but the overall message is that, you know, there's life after death, and things are pretty good. And, you know, like your work with what you're doing there, with your work on the other side with those who've crossed, it sounds like it's a really good place. I mean, in some of the conversations you've had.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. Go ahead, Chris.
That's right. I was just going to say that in my first novel, The Afterlife of Charlotte Browning, the first chapter is about what I remember of where I go between my lives. So that might be interesting for you to read, because we're talking about that very thing. And I remember several of my past lives, actually, through regression. I've been regressed several times. And I was going to ask you if you've ever been regressed.
No, I've been a lot of things, but regressed isn't one of them. Depressed I don't know. I've been a Civil War reenactor for like 5 years or so, and I do feel somewhat of a connection there. So I'm not sure if that's a past life or what. But
oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I mean, everything I've been reading, it's like you die, you go to heaven for a while, and then when you're ready to move to the next level of heaven, then you're reincarnated and you come back and hopefully learn some more of life's lessons while you're here. And every time you're reincarnated, you're learning a little more and becoming a little more closer to that perfect soul, that so you can move on to the next level.
That's right. That's exactly what I got over.
I don't know. I find the whole level thing to be a mystery to me. I mean, despite the fact I've had the sensitivity my whole life, I just look at it and go, levels. It's almost like going through university or something like that, where you've got these different rankings. But I mean, the two of you have been working with this. What are these rankings? What, you know, you start off at level 1 into level 7, or is it like golf, you get from 7 to 1? So, yeah, tell me.
I'm not so sure it's what your idea of levels are, John. It's just that everybody has to experience everything. So you'll experience being very rich, and you'll experience being very poor, and you'll experience dying young, and you'll experience dying old. And so you just have to experience everything before you can, get to the point where you don't have to come back anymore. And how you react to all your different experiences, it lets you advance or not advance.
Okay.
Yeah, what I've been reading is pretty much everybody shows up the first time at level 3. I guess levels 1 and 2 are not exactly what we consider hell, but they're just not as nice. And, you know, if you're a real jerk in this life, you know, then you're going to have to come back and learn some humility and learn some things and just to,
exactly.
to become a better person. And every time you come back, when you pass over again, you arrive in heaven that much of a better person than you were the last go-around, you know. And it's...
if you're lucky.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan to become a... I guess they describe it as a pure soul, a pure energy, you know, the godlike type of pure individuals that most of us aren't. So you have to keep coming back and going through it until you learn all of life's lessons.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I'm not so much into the rich thing, although I wouldn't mind a few extra bucks for a new sports car. But although the Mustang is nice, I got to admit that's a fun car. But the thing that I'm just amazed with about the whole thing is I did a regression once, and I was just a simple Indian in my last life, and I was a warrior, and I got killed on the battlefield. That was my regression, and it was a very just a very, very, it wasn't like the traditional, you know, I was, you know, some famous personality from history. It was a very mundane life. And I think
most people are like that, John. That's how you know when you're really experiencing what you were, because there are very few famous people, let's face it.
Yeah, it was strange.
But even though you were just an Indian, Indians are very spiritual, and that's probably where you got a lot of the spiritual abilities and things that you have in this life.
Well, it's funny because when I was a child, I had speech difficulties. You know, here I am in this business of talking on radio now, but you know, for 9 years I had to go through speech therapy, and I was always a bit behind. And we actually lived in a town called Roseville. And on a road called Oak Tree Drive, and that was right on Indian grounds where people lived and died and were buried all around that area. And so these housing complexes were all through there, right on top of this. And my earliest paranormal memory was of being running on these steps, and I would jump down, and these sparkly things would actually kind of catch me and let me down easy. I've spent my life wondering about this memory, you know, because I was just blown away by it. And what I think is that I was dealing with spirits of actual Indians who kind of understood what was going on with me and, were being really nice to me. And I just, I've always had this fond memory of this thing, and I'm sure it actually happened. And, it's exactly what you're saying. It's just this connection. And from that point on, I've always just been attracted to this stuff. And you know, of course, I've got Scottish heritage in this family, and everybody on my mom's side are all, you know, kind of got this crazy thing going on with them. We just got that extra something. So I don't know. I think maybe I did earn something in the last life, and now I'm a radio host on a paranormal show. So that's my purpose in life, is to help other people understand. Maybe I'm doing something right.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. We're all teachers, aren't we, at this point?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, speaking of teaching, I'm going to be doing that paranormal EVP clinic here in the coming, the 27th, we're going to do an EVP clinic for anybody who wants to come in, and we're going to just basically go over, techniques and how to archive, how to take these things and make them into something meaningful and, file them properly and interpret them. And just basically it's a half hour presentation with an hour and a half of actual practice with real EVPs. You hand it out to people, just bring your laptops, that kind of thing. So we're going to be doing that at the Raley Center over in Placerville. That's going to be about 10 o'clock, and I think it's 10 o'clock in the morning till noon. I think it's 166 Placerville Drive. I don't have the address in front of me, but it's the only Raley's in Placerville. So. We're going to be doing that.
I'll be able to join you for about an hour on that one.
Yeah, if you wanted to come in and, you know, we could actually play some EVPs and, you know, we'll see how many we get. So far, it's been pretty light on anybody coming in, and I'm trying to get just mainly our group, but if the public wants to come in, anyone's listening, you know, feel free to join us that day. It's Saturday at 10 o'clock to 12 at Rayleigh's in their free meeting center. So we're going to be doing that. And what else is going on? We're going to be doing the Bodie investigation. So that's coming up day after tomorrow. We load up the Ford truck.
Yeah.
Going to go out there and, you know, see what we catch. And it should be interesting. I'm sure we've got...
I can't wait.
Well, I'm sure we've got stuff, you know, people that haven't crossed, and there's people that have crossed that come back in visitation, and we're going to get a little of each, you know. So God knows what, you know, what we're going to run into, but there's just a lot of anticipation on this one. I think this is going to be ranked right up there as one of the banner investigations for us for the year. So
yeah, this is going to be a great one, too, just like that Virginia City one was great, too.
Yeah, well, that was one of the few where I've actually looked with two eyes and looked at an apparition running. To see that guy, you know, that half of a body running from the mine, you know.
Right.
And lately, though, I've been seeing more of it. You know, that thing at the bookery that peeked around the corner at me, that was just stunning. And I just wonder how they're going to react when we do the reveal. I think they're going to be shocked. They're going to be going, "What the hell am I doing in this place?" So.
No, I think they know, Jen. I think they know it's haunted.
Yeah, I think they do too. They kind of acted like it. You know, yeah, you know, we feel a little something in here. Well, well, they see how many EVPs we got. So it's going to be just nuts. I think they're going to be shocked. We're going to videotape that, and then we'll post the clip out on the GRI website. So I'm thinking that's going to be neat. But hey, we got 2 minutes left on the show, and so why don't we go ahead and get the Haunted America Radio URL and the dates and times for their show so we can direct some folks that way.
Well, let's see. Normally, we're on right now Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern, and that's blogtalkradio.com/haunted. Also, hauntedamericaradio.com. In about 3 weeks, we're going to move it to 7 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully, we can get some more listeners on the West Coast there by shoving the show up a little later. Tomorrow, Josh and I are going to be on Gemini Rose's show at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And I can't quite remember the name of her show, Spiritual something, but it's here on Blog Talk Radio. They just do a search for Gemini Rose, so...
Yeah, I've actually seen her around. Yeah.
She's all over the place.
I know. I keep seeing her, and I'm going to have to give her a yell and see if she wants to, you know, bop on over and talk to us a little bit. So, yeah, but we'll listen to your show.
Oh, she'd love to.
Okay, well, we'll pop on, and we got 90 seconds left, so we'll pop on, though, and say hello to you tomorrow, and, you know, maybe I'll call and listen to some of your stuff, and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, this Sunday we're going to have fun. Josh is going to be away, so I get to play. So me and Gemini, we're going to... I got all kinds of questions for her that she's not used to being asked, I think. So.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, that said, Christine, thanks as always. We appreciate you coming in, you know, on short notice and putting it together a quick show. And I think despite our technical troubles, we overcame those. And just really appreciate you coming in.
Okay.
Okay,
nice talking to you again.
Okay, thanks a lot, everybody. And I'm just going to go ahead and pop on the ghost theme and call it a night and a successful show. And with that, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off.